down the wrong path with the desires that God had put in me. I was just going the wrong way. Drugs and all of that stuff, you know. And I would have never fulfilled God's purpose. I'm right in the middle of God's will today.
Glory to God.
I mean, in every area of my life that I'm aware of, I am in the middle of the will of God in everything. And how many knows that every one of us needs to know what the will of God is for our life?
Amen.
And we need to, and because we don't know everything, we need to be seeking the Lord. Lord, what is your will? What is your purpose, you know, for me? What is the path? The Bible says the path, that he's ordained the path of the righteous.
Right.
Our steps are ordered of the Lord, you know. And so we must follow the Lord. And I thank God I followed the Lord. It's not always been easy to follow the Lord. And it's still at times it's a challenge to follow the Lord today, you know, because things come up, you know, and in ministry and business and, I mean, hardships and all of that. And I mean, I even thought here a while back, I thought, well, I've been in the garage door business long enough. You know, I need to just go get me a job driving a truck and, you know, and all of that. And then whenever I consider the will of God, I think that's not the will of God. I'd be a miserable truck driver. I'm a truck driver. Been a truck driver all my life. Still drive a box truck. Still do it. But without the will of God, I would be a miserable truck driver. I could go in these ends. Teresa was talking about it this morning, you know. And I'm talking about persuaded. Go down some of the same lines that she's talking about. We never told Travis. I never told Travis, you're going to be in the garage door business. I never put my desires that I wanted him to be. Now, I yielded him to the Lord at 5 years old. And I said, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, I would like for him to be in the garage door business. He was 5 years old. But I said, Lord, not my will, but yours. And I'll never convince Travis what I want him to do. Based on, you know. And I've never told him you can be anything that you... How many knows that's wrong for us to do that? He's got to be persuaded of things that the Lord has for him. You, and I'm talking about, not just talking about Travis, I'm talking about, you know, unless we are persuaded by the Lord that something's supposed to happen in our kids' life. You know, we need to teach our kids to find the will of God. You need to find the will of God. You like Travis, he's going to get married, 17, 15, and I'm going to get married when I'm 18, y'all can't stop me or whatever. And we're going to have him pack up right then, you know. We're not going to try to discuss it, you know, get your underwear and get out, you know. But I would tell him, I would say, son, you know, that you need to find what the will of God is, who she is. Now, that was odd. I never heard that too much taught in the churches other than the one that Ben Rachel was in. That put a foundation in me to find out what God's will was, to find the will of God for my life, find the will of God in my marriage. I mean, things can happen in my marriage right now, and I just kick back and I just cruise right on through it. Why? I'm in the will of God. Why do I get shook up? Why would I? I'm in the will of God. If I'm in the will of God, He takes care of His will. He takes care of His. I'm persuaded.
Amen.
See, if you don't know the will of God for your life, then you're going to be unpersuaded. When trials start happening, when things start coming your way, you know, even against the will of God, if you're not persuaded, you'll bail out. You'll make mistakes. You won't never fulfill the purpose of God. But how many know persuaded people receive the promises of God? Unpersuaded people don't fight the good fight most of the time. Unpersuaded, just like, you know, going to this church. I mean, I've thought about it before, but I could go back to church and I wouldn't have to fast and pray all week and put things together at church. And I could just go back to church and just enjoy my life. Have you know Satan's a liar? If he tells you, if you know you're supposed to be here and Satan, you know, is trying to get you out for whatever reason. Just like sis this morning, you know, I thought about not coming, you know, and I said, I'm going. I'm going to church. I'm going to be. That's the will of, she fought for the will of God, and look where she's at. I mean, that's a simple, but that's a profound thing. Because the Bible says that it's him that places us in the kingdom. Seeing people listening by Facebook and all over the world and replacing church for, you know, Facebook or internet, that's not the will of God. The will of God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. And as much more as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord approaching, provoke one another to good works. He's talking about assembling together there. See, unpersuaded people that's the will of God won't go to church.
Right.
They will not go to church. They will not turn. They won't, you know, they won't get up. They won't do what it takes on Saturday night. Get into bed early enough, you know, where you'll feel good at church or whatever the case. It's a sacrifice to do the will of God. But I'm persuaded that the will of God brings the power and promises of God into all those that do it.
Hallelujah.
I had somebody one time that wanted me to counsel a married couple from the church, and they, you know, I said, sure. So I met with them, sat there down at the table. He started telling all the things that was wrong with her. Then when she rode over him, he was telling all the things that was wrong with her. And I said, y'all both wrong. See, I persuaded the will of God. The woman is supposed to be in subjection, submission, Christians. I'm not talking about the world. The world ain't going to be nothing like us. They're not going to act like us. They're not going to think like us. They're not going to do like us. They're not going to conduct relations like us. The world don't have the power of God in their life like we do. We've got the grace of God. We've got the word of God. We've got the will of God. See, and I'm sitting there, and I know what the will of God is. For him to honor his wife, to love his wife as Christ so loved the church, and for her to quit beating him up and him to quit beating her up, I knew the will of God. Well, I counseled him. I said, y'all are both wrong in everything y'all are saying. You know, that makes me an unpopular guy.
Right.
But I'm not sitting there to be popular.
Right.
I'm sitting there to help them get their messed up life straightened out. And the only way that I know to do it that worked for me is the will of God, the word of God. And I mean, and then on that part, I put steak on your plate right here. This is steak, the word of God. The word of God says if you will love your wife as Christ so loved the church, and if you will submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord, then y'all have been given a plate of steak. And it will work and be real good for you. Well, they left here, and I'm just a divorce maker. I couldn't figure that one out. I'm like, what? I called them to get a divorce. Really? See, what happened is they were unpersuaded that God's will and God's word would straighten them out. So I was wrong. They went on divorce. She took everything, lost his whole farm that had been handed down to him, said 60, 80 acres. And I mean, they ended up split up and all of that stuff. And she ended up losing it all. Getting out of the will of God. See, a good marriage has to be worked on. The will of God, just as well as the will of God, has to be worked on. I mean, we got to work at doing the will. We know it's the will of God that we fast.
Right.
We know it's the will of God that we pray. Well, I'm always starving. I know it. I understand. I got a flesh body just like you do. I know. It don't seem like that I suffer, but I do. I just don't whine about it like you do.
Right.
I'm going to have to bring you a big... I'm going to see if I can find a huge pacifier. A huge one. Set it on the edge of the stage. And then everybody starts whining. I'm going to say, that's yours. We're over here. We put things, we don't slobber on ourselves. We ain't whining. No, we're not. We're supposed to be thankful
right.
In all situations. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I might be going through this, Lord, but thank you, Lord, this is causing me to grow up. This is causing me to grow. You know, we just covered that. Grow, the 1 Peter 2:2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. Grow means to enlarge, to increase in Him, in the things of God, in the will of God. But we've got to take God's word, and we've got to be persuaded. Because let me tell you something. There's no word out there in the media that I can find truth. Nowhere. I can't find stability. All I find is confusion and lying and can't depend on and blah, blah, blah. But you bring it over to the church. We're supposed to be people that are steadfast in the Lord, and we will be steadfast in this world. And we will shine as the lights in this world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've got the world pushing down on us right now. Darkness. The Bible said darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness to people. Well, we can see that magnified more. I can read that scripture today and I can say I could see it back under, Lord, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. But, Lord, I really see it now. I see darkness and gross darkness covering people, praise God. But the Bible says, for the people of God, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen on you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We got the grace. We've got the ability. We've got the things put on the inside of us. How many know the Bible said, it is Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, that gives us the want to and the power. I can be like Jesus. I can. I'm becoming more like Him every day. In my thinking, every area of my life can be conformed to the image of Jesus. And I believe that we're a work in progress. I know we are, and it's happening. But you know what? Me and you has got to, if my marriage was in trouble today, but God, I wouldn't need a meal for a few days. I'm telling you right now, but God, I'd get down and I'd take authority over that stinking devil and I'd tell him, but God, as for me and this house, we going to serve the Lord. And I'm serving notice on you right now, Satan. Take your hands off of my property. I'm the head of my house and you are under my feet. Now, I felt that really strong while I'm preaching that. See, Satan used to have me convinced there wasn't nothing I could do. Cause, I mean, I let we both backslid one time. We both go back and do a little meth and get marijuana and all that. And preacher starts doing meth and blah, 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 you know. And then I'm getting back right with the Lord. She wouldn't go. She just wouldn't go. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for not being the man of my house and letting my house get in ruin, Lord. I did it, Lord. I allowed it. If any of your house is in ruin, men today, it is your fault. I say that strongly. I mean what I'm telling you. Why? I know the will of God. I know what the word of God says. I know that I'm under Jesus. And I'm the head of my house. I'm the head of this ministry. Under Jesus. If this ministry is in chaos and strife and all that all the time, it's not your fault. It's my fault. If you let Satan into your finances, it ain't God's fault, and it ain't his fault, it's your fault. It's my fault. We've got to be persuaded about the will of God, and then we've got to stand up and take authority over what God has willed in our lives, praise God. Because Jesus has already done it. God's already did it, praise God. You know, the Lord tried to get me to get saved long before I got saved. I mean, I started thinking, man, I want to straighten up. I want to change my life. We need to go to church. You know, all of that is not you. That wasn't me. That was the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit. And I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that was the Lord. That was the way the Holy Spirit worked. And later on, I preached it in the jails. And hundreds come to Jesus over a 3-year period because they had already been thinking, I want a different life. I want to go. They didn't know that was Jesus trying to get them to get born again. They didn't know it. But once I realized it, then I began to preach in the church. I knew the will of God then. I knew how He dealt with a lot of folk about getting born again. and they would give their heart to Jesus because they realized that God loved them. That God wasn't calling me just to straighten my life out. God was calling me because He loved me. He loved me. He knew me before I was born. He loved you. He knew you before you was born. And thank God today that I got born again, man. My life has been very good. Hard times have been in it, yes. Trials have been in it, yes. But I can stand today a happy man. I'm blessed. I'm blessed of the Lord. Amen. Well, you're blessed of the Lord. This church is blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Many fall because they don't get persuaded concerning God's will for their lives. Therefore, I mean, if you're not persuaded in the time of testing and trials, if you are not persuaded of the will of God in your life, you will give in to the devil's snares and tricks. You'll give in to fear and unbelief and doubt. Once I give, you know, I mean, just like all the times that I've been through financially, man, I mean, you know, I stand today and I'm like, look, God, I made it through all of that garbage. Every bit of that tried to destroy me. Every bit of that tried to hook me for lifetime with bills and all of that stuff. But the deliverance of the Lord, because I stood on the word of God that He would supply all of my needs, He was able to go and bring all that to pass. Praise God, and I stand today in full confidence that with the next trial that I enter, that my God will bring me through.
Amen.
See, when you stand on the promises of God and you see God move, it just deepens the persuasion of the kingdom in your life. It deepens it.
Amen.
You get rooted and grounded in His faithfulness. I'm 100% convinced that every one of y'all in here is supposed to prosper.
Amen.
You're supposed to have more than enough. You're supposed to be where you're a blessing to others. Praise Amen. God. Where you, I mean, you're able to do whatever God tells you to do. God may not ever tell you to give money. He may tell you to give time. He may tell you whatever the will of God is. You know, and the more persuaded of the will of God that you are practicing yielding to, persuaded in your practice and yield to do, the deeper that the revelation will come to you about things. And that's what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Just a little example back, I don't know, I guess back when Oakley first started. Satan, he catches me out by the road most times. You know, try to mess with me. I don't know why that is. Down at my garden is kind of close to the road. But I'm down there and it's hot and I'm picking that Oakley. And all of a sudden I had this thought, Teresa don't really love you. She really, all this time, really didn't want to be with you all this time. You know? And so I just stopped and I said, Satan, are you serious? You think I'm stupid now? I told him, I said, you will never carry me back into bondage, you idiot. If she don't love me, nothing I'll do about it other than stand. I'm standing on the anointing. If she makes choices like that, it'll be because she bypassed the power. She bypassed the Holy Ghost. She bypassed everything. And I went right on and picked my Oakley and not thought no more about it. Why? I'm persuaded. I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my wife to Jesus a long time ago. And why would I not trust Him now?
Amen.
I bought 36 years with the very thing, the only thing that I cared about, praise God, in fullness at that time, was Teresa. And when I got born again, I mean, all of these years, I've walked out what was the will of we was the will of God. You and your wife, the will of God. And your kids, you need to teach your kids and your grandkids that it's not just anybody they want to hook up with or like. It's you pray and you seek the Lord and you fast. And you don't hook up with the things with people that are yielding to ungodliness.
Amen.
Travis was not allowed to date. unsaved girls. Why? Because we know what the will of God is. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's enough. That's all I need to know. That his little flesh is running wild. He's wanting a little hoochie mama over there. Don't take talking about climbing out of the windows. Beth never tried to teach him to climb out the windows. Did you, Beth?
No, I was too scared.
Huh?
No, I was too scared to do it.
See? Raised up as Christians. They didn't have the thought. You know, because they knew that they were comfort with it. Well, how many know there's consequences to us if we don't do the will of God?
That's right.
If the will of God is by Jesus Christ, I'm healed. And I mean, I'm supposed to be taking authority. It's the will of God. I'm supposed to be taking authority in that realm, commanding my body to line up. Why? Because God don't need my body weak, sick, and broke down to try to go do the kingdom. God needs me and you strong. He needs us in faith, even if we go through things in our bodies. He needs us in faith, hallelujah. Believe in him. How many know that's counted to you for righteousness? But when you lay down, I met my brother, one of my brothers, head down there, and he said, I prayed for you, but I hope God heard me. I'm going to go in open heart surgery, man. And so I looked at him and I said, well, you know, I talked to him this morning. I said, I talked to him. All's well. I'll be back in a little while. I said, you know, and you need to go to come to church when I get out. I'm preaching church, going into the open heart surgery. I could have been under, oh, nobody knows, Lord. I'm so scared. Lord, oh, Jesus, don't let me die, Jesus. I ain't dying no 50. I promised 120 years. The Bible says long, satisfied life. He didn't say long, weak, broke, sick lives. But you'll be okay. You'll just make it on through. Just barely get by. Just you can be a little sad, but praise the Lord. He didn't say none of that. He said the joy of the Lord is Scotty's strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, if you ain't found that joy, then maybe you ain't got him in you. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace. The Holy Ghost brings love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering and a faithful, a temperance.
Amen.
These things are in me, right? I'm persuaded that those are working in my life, praise God. I'm persuaded that I'm going to work with the Holy Ghost and I'm going to let him continue the work in me. I mean, here we go through the COVID deal. I've had to rearrange my thinking in the workplace. I've rearranged the way what I tell people in the workplace. I can't depend on none of the door companies to tell me exactly or nothing. And I mean, they'll tell me 5, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and then it's 16 weeks. So I took it on my own to create the way that I talk by, because I want my yes to be yes and my no, no. I'm not going to change my integrity because the world changed. So I've got to use strategy. I've got to depend on the Holy Spirit. So I changed everything of the way that I talk to people when I give them a price and they want to know how long. Most of them I say, just cut me a check. I don't know how long. You know, get here when he gets here. I need a down payment. You don't know when he'll get. I have no idea. All I know is I'll get your doors in when they get here.
Amen.
That frees me. I've got almost $20,000 in the bank of other people's money in another account. I didn't put it in my account. Why? That's dumb.
Right.
Dumb. That ain't my money. Well, you can keep it. I ain't keeping up. I got it kept up with. See what I'm saying? That's me using wisdom. Because I'm not going to spend money I don't need to spend that ain't mine. So I'm not going to put it in that. I'm just telling you, I mean, I had to change everything in my thinking. I used to just get the down payment, put the down payment in a jar, and just let it sit there until the doors come in, put the down payment in the bank, and be done with it. Well, the last time I done that, both down payment checks tagged. So I'm instantly putting them in the bank.
Right.
They ain't gonna cash, they ain't gonna, if, they're not gonna bank like, bounce later on.
Right.
And you know who told me to do that?
The Lord
Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He put that thought. See, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll spare you trouble in the future. He'll call you to make choices. I'm just talking about persuading that the Lord. See, for me not to trust the Lord is me telling the Lord, I'm not persuaded, God, that you can handle this bill, that you can handle my payments. You can handle. I mean, I just preached it to you. He wiped out $130,000 for me in 2 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Man. See, but it's easy for us to see and do God do it for somebody else, but the enemy telling, yeah, but you this, yeah, but you that. He'll give you all kinds of reasons why he won't do it for you. Satan will.
Right.
But and see, he will cause you and me, if we're not persuaded that he loves us unconditional, he'll persuade you and me that God is not faithful to his promises. Be based on our goodness,
right,
or our works.
Right.
I tell people all the time, well, we let things go back. And I'm talking about Christians. Well, we let things go back. And blah, blah, blah. No matter what's that got to do with God's promises? A good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold. A good name. Somebody say a good name. That's the will of God. Now, why wouldn't I want the will of God? Because it's fighting is what it is. Told Travis one time, I told him, I said, son, you need to build your credit up. He went there and tried to get something. He ain't got no credit. He ain't got no credit. He's never borrowed nothing, so he ain't got no credit. So he gets him a little credit card. See, some of us, we can't get a credit card to build our credit because we max it out.
Yeah.
If you get it, and you know you're going to max it, don't be dumb. I carried a $10,000 credit card in my back pocket, and I was behind on everything. And I put that in my wallet for a purpose, to train my flesh, to deny myself. I needed something big. I had $10,000. And didn't even have the money to buy Travis a gold ring. You say, yay, yay. No, I was held in the hallway.
Right.
No, I was held in the hallway. It ain't yay, Brother Scotty. It's hell in the hallway. But I was working on being a good steward, but God. And you know what today? Praise God, this old boy right here ain't broke, but God. I ain't broke, and I make good decisions. I've worked on it. I'm not broke. Yay, Scotty, no. I give all the glory to the Lord. But you know what? Me and you's got to work with him before he can bring that glory to us. For instance, I'd go buy a junk, reeling rods or whatever, and she'd,
you ain't right, you ain't right. All of our bills are due, and you ain't right. And I'm having to go through here, and I'm having to get the ones that's of most priority, and you're blowing money.
Oh, my bills wasn't paid. But see, I felt like, I can't take this. I got to go spend something. Oh, me. What about me? What about me? Listen to what I'm saying. What about me? What about me? What about... See, God was thinking about me. He was saying, discipline yourself. Discipline. Discipline. And get in conjunction with Teresa. You know, get in agreement with her instead of fighting against her. See, I was used to having my way. And my way got us in kind of a mess. And so I started working with her. I quit blowing money. I sold everything that was costing me money. Bulldozers and everything. That was hard, Johnny. I don't want to get rid of all of that, Johnny. I believe God for all of that, Johnny. But all of that is robbing us. And I told Teresa the other day, I said, you know, I was talking to her. I got persuaded that I'm going to go 10 or 15 years like this and I'm going to be still broke. See, I had to make a choice. I can either live and be kind of halfway satisfied now, fulfilling the flesh, or I can bring this flesh under subjection, which I know is the will of God.
Right.
And I got rid of everything. Come to find out, you know, okay, just a little example. Now, this stuff happens all the time. I go over there, you know, and I clean out some of that land on the other side over there, the mid-Traverses land over there. And I cleaned it off, and I told the guy, I said, you know, you can fence it in if you want to, let your horse out or whatever. You know, fence it all you want to. Well, it ended up, the guy went on a thing, maybe got rid of his horse, I don't know, didn't. And it was growing up. So I went over there, and I thought, well, I'm not going to let it grow up. I spent a couple, 3 days over the dozer cleaning that off. And so I went over there, you know, and so I bush hogged it and everything. And then I thought, man, I need to plant grass over here. This is going to help this land. I need to plant grass over here. Let them cows run over here. And so I going over there, you know, and I thought, well, I need to get me a dozer, man. I need a dozer where I can clean that on off down through there, you know. And I'm thinking, man, I should have got rid of them dozers. So I get on Marketplace. Dozer. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Shut it off. I shut it off. I'm like, man, I don't feel nothing but misery when I get on there. Well, the Lord said, he said, did your other backhoe push more than a dozer? I had a John 410 John Deere backhoe. I wore it out over there. You know, I got rid of it and asked the Lord, got this other one. It's a 3500 International. It's bigger. It's actually bigger than the other one. And I thought, oh, yes, yes. Yes, sir, Lord. But it ain't got tracks on it. It'll push more than a dozer. But it ain't got tracks. What if I roll on off? Steve, go ahead. And I thought, man, just listen to the Lord. Shut that stupid mind of yours off. I mean, you got to bring thoughts into captivity. Right. I went over there and God cleaned off. I started cleaning it off, and I done cleaned it off with a dozer. That's as far as I could clean it off with a dozer. I got about another acre and a half with a backhoe that I couldn't get with a dozer. The dozer wouldn't pick it up and move it. But that backhoe will pick it up, move it, and dozer. So what I'm saying is, if I had have listened to the flesh, I would right now be less. $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000.
Right.
And I couldn't even have done what the backhoe would do. The Lord told me, want the backhoe?
Right.
Yeah, but I need another piece of equipment. There goes that flesh trying to run. I'm not just telling you my story. Every one of you does it.
Right.
Every one of us does it. Travis gets down there and he gets to go kind of gets a little low of money. He had some money in savings. He brought it up. I said, don't touch your savings. Don't do it. I said, don't do it. He didn't do it. God came through. His savings is still there. He didn't touch it. That's called self-control. Hallelujah. But you know what he did? He sat at home. He started eating sandwiches and stuff like normal people ought to. Checking at home like normal people ought to. Well, and he told me this. He said, well, you know, I'm not dumb. He said, you know, I'm not going to run out and eat out all, you know, $40, $50, $60 when I need to be eating at home saving money. He's only 29. He done outrun me. I'm 54 and I still do it sometimes. He's outrunning me. He's growing. That's growing. That's developing. And I told him, I said, that's maturing, son. That's growing. It's just what I was talking about. That we desire what God's word is, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. God don't want us next year in the same level of faith, next year in the same level of love, next year in the same level of you know, he wants us progressively growing up in him, in all things we read the other night. You know, I mean, I do my very best. If I know that Beth and Travis, you know, don't really care for something that we do for the, if I find out about it, I don't say, well, it ain't really just none of their business. I'm pop off.
Right.
No, I try to be in agreement out here with them out there so that their kids are solid. You see what I'm saying? That their kids are not, they're solid, because everybody has created a boundary for the enemy for them. Well, if I say, well, you know, mom and them don't want you to have it, but you're out at Papa's house. Then, you know, the next day, I mean, Aubrey, come go to Teresa every time they get on to her about something. I'm going to go tell Grandma. Grandma's the boss over me.
No.
So she's out the house, you know, and she tells, Teresa said, Mom and them's telling me that, but you're my boss, Grandma. And Teresa said, no, well, I'm not your boss. Your mom and daddy is your, they're over you. I'm grandma. Whatever mom and daddy says, that's what goes. That's what she told her. Had to get her straightened out on that wrong thinking issue. What is that? That's witchcraft. Go out to grandma and them's and there ain't going to be no consequences. I don't like being told what to do out here, so I'm going to grandma's. How many knows? We could not allow that rebellion to take place. It don't mean that Audrey's bad. She's only five. She's only six, you know. It's the nature of the flesh to rebel against authority, against the things of God. That's why the Word of God brings the will of God. It gets us into submission to the authority that created us.
Amen.
And brings structure to our lives, structure to their lives. Hallelujah. Man, a wife and a husband have to be in union over choices with the kids. If you're not in union, one don't really agree, so they don't really make the kid do that. The other one does, trying to help the kids and all of that. The other one don't. The one that is not complying with the other mate, they are teaching rebellion
right
to the kids. Not on purpose. Wouldn't do it for nothing. I used to think, well, I can't whoop him because Teresa does. How can I whoop him? Teresa gets him good. I'd have to tell her, that's enough. So I told her, I thought, Lord, how do I deal with this, Lord? I mean, I don't want to whip him because he gets enough for both of us. Well, the Lord told me, he said, that's all she knows.
Right.
He said, just go tell her that everything don't deserve a whipping.
Right.
You know, that was simple to me. I thought, man, that can't be the Lord. So I went to her and I said, you know, Teresa, I said, you know, because I wanted to fight, you know, and I mean, it's making me mad and stuff, you know. But how many knows if we acknowledge God in Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all our, lean not the world, in all of our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct us.
Hallelujah.
And so I was acknowledging Him. How do I deal with this God? And so I go to Teresa and I tell Teresa, I said, you know, honey, I said, everything don't deserve a whipping. Everything is not deserving of a whipping. And a light goes off in her. Revelation come to her. At that moment, she'll tell you now, I mean, you know, and I mean, things begin to change in that arena. The discipline begin to change in that arena. It begin to be softer discipline, more talking instead of frustration, and things happen. With all that the Lord did has caused her to realize everything don't deserve a whipping. Because I wasn't going to fight with her in front of Travis and them. Travis, but all I had to do was bother him. I mean, my mama didn't know nothing but knock you out. Why, she'd pick up shoes and, I mean, iron skillets. Boom, bang. I mean, that was her way too. But I don't think Daddy wanted to whoop me. He never whooped me, but one time I bit him. Poked him in the belly is what it does. He wouldn't. Oh, I had a fit. He wouldn't get me a little remote control, wire remote control truck. I poked him in the belly. He whipped me. That's the only time I ever got a whipping from my dad that I can remember. But how many knows the Word of God is what persuades us of the decisions that we make? Not, you know, we don't need to let a church mold us. We don't need to let so-called Christians mold us. We need to get in that word individually. Why? Because our journeys are different journeys. I mean, you know, but God knows how to impart to each one of us according to His will. The will of God may not be all that it is for me, for you. You know, I mean, you may not ever need as much money as I do to do the will of God. But whatever amount you need to have it.
Right?
The Bible says, owe no man nothing but the leaven, Romans 5. Well, if you've got debt in your life, the Bible says, owe no man nothing. Well, then we need to be getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to get out of debt, Lord. Help me to get out of debt, God. Because you know what? If I'm making a $1,000 a month house payment and I get that baby paid off, I can slap some money on somebody soon. Or God tells me to sow $1,000 into the church, I can just bring it like no problem. Why? Because that debt's gone. I was paying that $1,000 a month. God was meeting it, and I keep on saving that $1,000 a month. And if God tells me to go pay your house off, I can say, woohoo! Yeah, baby! Where you at? God's a miracle-working God.
Amen.
What's that, brother? He told me to pay your house off. Oh, I thought it would never get paid for. See, don't think.
Right.
Just being obedient to the Lord, praise God. Man, give me the first one, I guess. What do we got? Okay, we'll read this right quick. I want that James. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love Him, who are the called according to what?
His purpose.
Not our own purpose.
Right.
When He called us, He bought us.
Right.
We yielded to that purchase. He paid a big price for us. Jesus' blood, man. Jesus hung on that cross. The Bible says we've been bought. And so He says, we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called to God. If I love God, I want His purpose.
Right.
See, the things don't work out when we're doing things our way. I'm just telling you. We find the will of God. We fight for the will of God. That's where the purpose of God is being manifest in our hearts. And that's where the grace of God comes in. That's where the power of God comes in. Because we're doing everything according to His purpose. We're seeking. Give me the James now. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I read that one time, you know, and I thought, well, man, I sure could use some wisdom. And it said, well, I told you, ask me.
Right.
And I don't hold it back. And so I just went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I have your wisdom and not my wisdom anymore, Lord. I received the wisdom of God. I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, and I believe according to Mark 11 that I received your wisdom, God. And from this moment on, God, I will make wise decisions for me and my family and my ministry, Lord. And you know what? I walked around for week after week after week after week, still feeling dumb, still trying to make decisions because Teresa hadn't made them all. I mean, those your wife don't need to be making no major decisions because you won't be responsible.
Amen.
Now, Dee's got the anointing, her husband. She's right now with Jesus. And so she's got the anointing to stand in that place that her husband, right under the Lord. Y'all women that are widowed, if you're wondering, you ain't got to have a man. Jesus is your husband. Right?
Right.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. And so asking the Lord for that wind, and then I believed I received it. So I'm smarter than the Chevrolet place now.
Amen.
Chevrolet place couldn't figure out what, mechanics couldn't figure out what's wrong with my truck. None of them. They couldn't figure it out. They wanted me to spend $300 on this, $250 on this. And I looked at one of them and I said, what if they don't fix it? I said, I've spent $500 and I've still got the same problem.
Right.
So then I went on, prayed God, and I thought, I got the wisdom of God. I said, Holy Spirit, I said, you know exactly what's wrong with this vehicle. You know exactly. I told Teresa, I said, I'm going to the shop up there to fix my truck. And I went up there relying on the Holy Ghost, and he gave me thoughts. I went through those thoughts, and just about 20 minutes, I found the problem. And I fixed the problem. It didn't cost me not $1. Not one. And then I thought, I need to go tell the civil place. They would love to hire me. Woo! I don't even have to be plugged in a socket. I'm plugged in on high. See, you're plugged in on high, man. We ain't just that. We ain't just old Christians. We're just not old sinners saved by grace and just dumb as dirt. But God, we got the anointing of God. We got the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. We got the power of God. I know we don't feel like I'm talking right now. Well, that's why we got to learn to walk by faith. We don't have to walk by what we feel. Oh,
man.
Well, I just feel defeated. Well, shut that up. Don't say it again. The Bible said, let the weak say that I'm strong. Hallelujah. I just told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I go in your name. I go in your anointing. I go in the power of your Holy Spirit in this earth, Lord. I'm anointed. Well, I wasn't feeling anointed. So I just combat those feelings and just shut them right on down. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavereth. Yeah, I mean, you can ask for wisdom. Yeah, but I'm just dumb. Yeah, but I'm just... Let him gain in faith. You ain't going to get nothing. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavereth. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Go ahead, man. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in everything. I didn't write it. Right there it says. And I was there. I was there. But I'm not now. I'm persuaded I'm the best thing ever happened to Teresa other than Jesus. She don't believe it. I don't care. I know I'm right. I don't need her to persuade me. But God, I got born again. I gave my life and my wife to Jesus. That was wisdom. And thank God he's kept it for 30-something years now. I know what I'm doing. I'm in him. I told Teresa yesterday, I said, I can tell you, I asked my pastor one time, how did you raise me up? You know, I was wondering because I felt like the Lord was putting it in my heart to raise up ministers. And he has. Y'all are.
Yeah.
And he said, Brother Scotty, I really don't know. Don't really know how, buddy. I said, well, you did a good job. Look at me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You did a good job. I said, I'm going into all the world. I said, you did a good job. But I was telling Teresa yesterday, I said, I can tell you right now. I said, because of that day, I thought I'm not going to come out of financial difficulty and not know how I done it. I'm not going to come and get into a place of ministry and not tell you how I did it, how I trusted God and yielded to God and fasted and prayed and praise God. If you'll do it that way, I said, if somebody asked me, how do you raise people up? I'm going to say, yes, sir, I know. Teach them, number one, to submit to authority. If you can't get them to submit to authority, you might as well let them go because they can't submit to God. If you can't submit to leadership, you can't submit to God. If you can't submit to your husband as unto the Lord and humble yourself, you can't submit to God. Your rebellion toward your husband is the same way you rebel towards God.
Right.
If I can't love my wife as Christ so loved the church, I can't love God. Because that is a sure sign that I'm not submitted to that. Y'all learning, or y'all okay, or y'all quiet, or this is good stuff, ain't it? See, he says, the devil, for me or you to go and say, God, I thank you, go supply all our needs according to my riches, your riches, and God, Jesus, and he get off all, I don't know what we're going to do. You're a double-minded man. You a double-minded man. And you're going to get on the nerves of the ones that can help you. Because they move in faith led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They don't move by need. You shouldn't be moved by your need. Ever. Ever. Ask God and ask in faith. Believe you received it. Just like I told Monty and them, they're in their house, I believe, based on they did what they've been trained here to do for 7, 8 years, however long they've been here. I believe it. I believe it. I lit over in that. We talked for 25, 30 minutes, us, you know, and I mean, they're just in that trial and all that stuff, you know, and it's pressure facing being homeless, and all of us are just like, yeah, thank the Lord. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. They're having a hard time doing that. They're having to do it by faith. And I lean in there, I didn't feel that I'd done no prevail, no good talking to them, you know, and going over the issues and blah, 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 blah. But when I got done, I felt the Lord, he said, you tell them to go do what they've been trained to do. And I lean in the wind of their money, and that's the last thing I wanted them to hear when they left off of that anointed land. I bent down there and I said, the last thing I want you to hear is go do now what you've been trained to do. See, I don't know. I come preach here. You know, I come preach here, but I don't know how much you receive. I don't know what you hear. I don't know how much you hear. I don't know how much you take in. I don't know how much you go do. I don't know. But I know if you go do what I preach here, by God, you're going to win. But see, God knows every one of us. He knows exactly what month is in Monty and in April and in the kids. He knows, and he knows what to trigger if he's fighting. He knows what to trigger, when to trigger it in our spirit man, because we're acknowledging him that'll bring us the victory. Then you know what? They moved in their house and they're not prophesying that. Trials will come at that house. Dreams of doing things at that house and ain't got no money to do it is going to show up.
Amen.
Then how do we live? By faith. Amen. Glory to God, I don't live by what it looks like in the natural world. Thank you, Lord, for my block wall. Hallelujah, my block wall. Didn't have no money. God sends a guy here, praise God, because I wouldn't settle for being strapped. I wouldn't settle for just barely getting by and not getting no dreams done, because the Bible says that we live by faith and not by sight. So I went out there and prophesied to my block wall, and it wasn't even there. I said, thank you, Lord, for my block wall in abundance, Lord. Somebody comes to church and said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you, I don't remember how many block. Do you need some 8-inch block? I said, absolutely. Where are they? Well, we decided to sell that over there. We're not going to wear it. And the Lord wants me to give you some 8-inch block. I didn't pay nothing for them. I prophesied to that block wall. I didn't have the money to let nobody lay them, and you don't want me laying them. Baby, I don't know. I can't lay that stuff. Not without the Lord anointing me. And so I prophesied and I said, thank you, Lord, for the one Lord that's going to lay my block. In the name of Jesus. It wasn't just 3 or 4 or 5 days of a foundation starts going up on the corner right before you turn to go to my house, and this guy is laying block. I said, there he is. He's right here next door. So I go over there. That man say, yeah, I need to give you a price. I said, I need a price on this block, and you got to put the footer and all that stuff. You know? He said, yeah, right over there. So I go there. He said, I'll do it all for $400 something. I didn't have $400. I said, all right, man, just whenever you get ready, just do it. I got to pay this dude.
Right.
And so I go off, you know, and I get in my truck, and I go down there and thank the Lord. You supply all of my needs. I got the money to pay him, Lord. Well, pray God you lined it up, Lord. You done give me the brick. You put him next door, and I know all of it's you. I'm believing, done prophesied. Thank you, Lord, for the money. You know what? Before he got down there, I had the cash money in my hand to pay him plus for the sand and the mortar. Without my job. You get it?
Right.
Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Get in there and let that word persuade you that You don't lose anything, but you gain a hundredfold in this life. Don't wait till a trial hits you to get that scripture in you. Don't wait till you're going through trouble in your marriage to get marriage down right. Get it down right, and you won't have a lot of that trouble. Get your financial stuff in your heart right, that you're going to be a God, the man that listens to God and increases your family. And I mean, you already have the answers for things, and you'll save yourself a lot of trouble, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you this morning.